Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Now That's Beast podcast. Today is Saturday, May 23rd, and we are live for episode 4, our NFC draft recap. And I'm going to stop you right there. Before, I know what you're saying, like, hey, dude, draft was like a month ago. Hey, never too late to release a recap, though. Trust me, these interviews are fantastic. Literally probably the best interviews we've ever done. 4 interviews, 2 with the Redskins for our DC fans at home. We got 1 with the Packers, 1 with the Eagles. So 3 of, you know, the bigger drafts this year. All great interviews. Football fan, not football fan, I really suggest you check these out. These are actually, they're all hilarious. A little bit of a precursor, a little pre-warning. We do rag on Gare a lot in these. We're just effing with him, though. Gare, you'll listen to it further. We teased at it last week. Kind of ragged on Gare for being unprepared, even though he was like, obviously, yeah, I mean, you can tell from listening, he was the most prepared guy in those interviews. We still like to F with him. F in the chats for Gare. But good stuff. Great interviews. I do want to tease out, next week we have our biggest week ever on the podcast. I cannot be more excited. Like, right now I am so excited for these interviews we have coming up. I'm just going to tease out a little bit. Our first is an American University professor in sports business and marketing, and actually one of the leading experts on the coronavirus and the effects on both the youth sports world and the professional sports world. He's been on CNN, NBC, a bunch of major news outlets recently, so we're very excited, very lucky to have him on. It's going to be a great interview, a lot to learn there. Very exciting stuff. Plus, another bonus, we have a former, I'm not going to say the name yet, but we have a former Gator player, a Gator national champion. Plus, I'll give you a hint, he also was in the movie The Waterboy with Adam Sandler, so great stuff there. Those two interviews plus a lot more content coming in next week. So stay tuned. Spread the word to that. If you know anybody be interested in hearing those interviews, let them know. Hey, let them know. Tune in the podcast. It's effing great. Great interviews coming up. NFC Draft Recap right now. Get excited. Good stuff. All right, let's go. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 4 of the Now That's Beast podcast. Today we are sponsored by Gerb Thrifts. Everybody, right now, stop what you're doing. I mean, listen to the podcast first, but maybe at the same time, you can put it on. Go on Instagram right now. I need everybody to follow Gerb Thrifts on Instagram. That is GERBTHRIFTS for hand-selected vintage clothing you won't see anywhere else. Competitive prices, very affordable. I mean, me and Gerb, we get all of our clothes from Gerb Thrifts, run by a great buddy of mine. Great fucking clothes. If you like us, you're going to love these clothes. Go check it out right now. Support him. Tough times quarantine. Great clothes. He's going to be our official sponsor for a couple episodes now. We love him so much, we're making him official. We love Gerb Thrifts. You should love it too. Go check it out on Instagram. GERBTHRIFTS. Gerb Thrifts. But now we're going to move on here. We're going to have NFC Draft Recap interviews that I mentioned earlier. We have 2 Redskins experts, a Packers expert, and an Eagles expert. Fantastic interviews. Absolutely electric. We're just going to let them play through, you know, let the boys play. You know what they say, like, referees, stop calling that. Don't turn the whistle. We're going to let the boys play. Let them play through. Great interviews. As I said earlier, we have a big week next week, so tune in for that. Spread the word. Also, if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the show, let us know as usual. All right, I'm going to stop blabbing. Garrett's giving me the look here. All right, let's go. We're going to start with Redskins expert number 1, Joe Meter. All right, now on the Now That's Beast podcast, we have an absolute Redskins insider and expert on here. We just got word that he has watched over 480 hours of film, Ron Jaworski style, on all the draft picks, getting ready just to let you guys know what's going on with the Redskins draft. And before I introduce him, Joe Meter, for those of you who don't know at home, we actually did just get some breaking news. Literally just got the alert on my phone. Redskins have traded first-round draft pick Chase Young, quarterback Dwayne Haskins, and wide receiver Terry McLaurin, all in exchange for Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Wow. I'm astounded. As a Redskins fan, I'm just astounded. Baker is my guy through and through.
throw it all away for Baker, right?
100%.
Right. That's not true, unfortunately. Yeah, it was a fake alert I got. But, yeah. Now, Joe Meter, Redskins insider, analyst, and biggest Baker Mayfield in the world. So, Joe, tell us about yourself for the fans who don't know you at home.
Insider Joe, love me some skin. Chase Young, baby. Been watching a bunch of TikToks as of late.
Watching TikToks involving the Redskins and Baker, or just like regular TikToks?
No, I'm trying to learn the savage TikTok, like classy, bougie.
It's Joby.
I got it wrong, kinda.
That's Joby in it for you. Redskins insider, TikTok extraordinaire. We'll get started here with the draft. Redskins draft class, an interesting one, you know, highlighted by the number 2 overall pick. But overall, how did you grade this class, and what are your thoughts on it?
I think we had a really good draft. It was kind of hard to mess up the first round, but Redskins could have done it by drafting like Tua or trading down, and I wouldn't have put that past them. I think we had a really good draft.
Nice. What if you had to grade it on the A through E Montgomery County grading scale, what are you giving it?
Ooh, so there's no feeling. I mean, the Packers probably got an E.
Packers an E. You can go pluses and minuses too if you want.
No, I give the Redskins a solid B.
All right, B overall grade. Yeah. I had the Redskins at a C+ here. Love the first pick. Love that they just didn't fuck it up. I think they missed out on some big needs and don't see a lot of big contributors at the rest of the class. Garrett, what do you think?
I give it a B. I thought they filled some good holes on the offensive and defensive end, but left some wide open.
Some wide open holes. Joe, you know, with the drafting in a virtual form this year, you know, what stood out to you?
I think we did a pretty good job. I think Ron wanted the best player available. I'm kind of sad we didn't get a cornerback or more like offensive linemen, but overall, I think we did a really good job filling holes.
So I guess, you know,
not really holes, like adding some more depth.
Oh yeah, there's no holes on that Redskins roster. It's an elite championship contending roster as it is right now.
100%. This is a Super Bowl team right here.
Pretty obvious. I'm guessing your favorite player in this class got to be Chase Young.
I mean, that's the easy choice.
Oh, you're going different. Oh, I forgot. We have an insider on here. We're not getting just your average answer.
I've watched probably, like you said, 820 hours and of highlights. I'd say 819 of those hours were Antonio Gandy Golden highlights.
Okay. Gandy Golden. Where's this guy out of?
Liberty.
Liberty. All right. Smaller school guy. What position are we talking here?
Wide receiver. He is a baller. His steal in the fourth round.
Absolute steal. You think, is he an immediate contributor?
Yeah, I think he could start opposite of Scary Terry.
Oh, dude, love me some Scary Terry, not gonna lie.
The goat.
There's a goat. All right. I guess I want Chase Young. He's probably outside of Burrow, the best player in this class. He's gonna be an immediate contributor. Definitely the front runner, defensive rookie of the year as a rookie. Which I guess you gotta be a rookie to win that award. Not that I just said that sentence out loud. But yeah, he's a front runner. I think he's a future All pro guy, future pro bowler. That's the pick I like the best. What about you, Gare?
I liked their last pick in the draft, James Smith Williams at NC State. He's a freak athlete. He ran the fastest 40 out of any D lineman at the combine.
Okay.
He's good size, speed, strength. It's just a little raw.
Just a little raw. That's how Joe likes it, though, right? Just a little bit raw. That's how he likes his prospects, guys. Not as mitt. Yeah, Joe, out of your 860 hours of tape, what have you seen out of James Smith Williams?
James Smith Williams?
Yeah. Or did you just gloss over the tape there?
I mean, like I said, 819 of those hours were in the game. But I feel like we have a very solid front seven. I don't know how James Smith Williams is going to get a lot of time.
Yeah, Garrett. Yeah, good. We have a fun insider on here, dude. Like, Garrett thinks he's going out. Garrett's like smiling right now. He thinks he's been doing like hours of research. He thinks he's this new expert on football and stuff, using big words like strength, speed, raw. But we have a fucking insider on the phone, and he just called you out, basically saying, "Fuck you, this pick sucks." Like,
no disrespect.
No, me and Joe, you're the fucking analyst here. You're the insider.
I just thought he could be pretty good.
All right, let's move on here. We're going to go least favorite pick. What do you got, Joe?
I have to be the third round pick, Antonio Gibson.
Me too.
All right, I think we're all on the same page here. I don't really get this one at all, but you know, from the film you've seen, anything, you know, that stands out, maybe you could be positive, or are you just still, you know, all thumbs down on this one?
It just doesn't make any sense. We have four pretty good running backs on our team. Like, and McKissick, the guy we brought in from the Lions.
Yeah, McKissick's a...
is literally the exact same player as Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, he's a receiver running back.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I mean, like, the amount of guys still on the board there, too, that didn't really make sense. You have so many, you know, cornerback. I don't really get it. Yeah, I'm confused on that one. I'm kind of surprised they didn't try and trade back into the second round to maybe, you know, see, I think they wanted him as a receiver. It looked like they wanted to get a receiver. I don't know why they didn't trade up a little bit more. But I guess they did get your guy out of the fourth round. Out of Liberty. What's his name?
Isn't Grant Gandy? So,
Gandy Golden.
Golden.
That's a household name. We got to remember that. Gandy Golden. You know, next day when he's NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Insider Joe, he called it first. Gandy Golden out of Liberty.
He's a straight baller, I'm telling you.
All right, let's move on here. Let's go on. Your outlook on the Redskins season. Where are they NFC East contenders yet? You know, what do you think going forward?
Well, I definitely think they'll win more than two games.
Okay. Bold prediction.
Maybe they can tie last year and get three.
We have a really hard schedule next year, so I'm going to guess a solid 500 season.
All right, solid five, 8 wins. 8-8, that's not terrible.
8-8, we're getting into the playoffs now.
Oh, I guess there is. Not as a wild card.
Team. No, there's an extra team. I think it gets you in now.
In the AFC, maybe, not in the NFC.
Oh, yeah.
They could be competitors. I don't know. They could get a wild card.
Are you a Haskins believer?
100%. The Tua rumors blew my mind. If Haskins played anything like he did the last couple of games, then we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And he's only getting better.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not fully sold on Haskins yet, but you know, I definitely get, you know, the patience and wanting to, you know, at least give him another year. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how he does next year too. You know what the deal is with Alex Smith? Is that guy, like, is his leg better yet? Or is he still, like, walk?
He's not playing.
He's done?
He's not going to walk. I don't know. He does. I'm so mad we guaranteed all that money to him. He's going to ruin us for, like, I think another 2 years. I'm not sure.
No, just imagine that guy right now. He's, like, sitting down listening to this podcast. And he's like, ah, fuck you, motherfuckers. Like, leg just chilling, you know.
In his fucking wheelchair.
He's in a fucking wheelchair. He's like, yeah, fuck you, Redskins. Like,
I feel bad for him, but he kind of...
you know, I guess any other moves you want the Redskins to make before the season starts? You know, what about Cam Newton? You know, there was the rumors for a while. Bring him in with Ron Rivera.
No, I did not want Cam Newton.
Dude, not a big Cam guy?
No, didn't he have shoulder surgery? He doesn't run anymore, supposedly.
Yeah, he had, like, that Lisfranc thing, the foot.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
A Cam Newton that only relies on his, like, broken arm is not the quarterback I want.
You watch the tape. The tape doesn't show it.
Yeah, I'm not a Cam believer.
Nah, that's interesting.
Did he go to the Steelers? Oh, didn't he go in the... He's on the Saints now.
He's on the who?
No.
That's Jameis.
Jameis is on the Saints.
Jameis Winston. I think that might be nice, like, after Drew Brees retires.
Yeah, no, that is an interesting one, honestly, with the Saints, you know, filling that Teddy Bridgewater role from last year, especially because this is probably Breeze's last year. I don't know. It's actually a pretty good spot for Jameis, if you think about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, good stuff.
He should be a little less than 30 interceptions.
Gotcha. All right, last question for you, Joe, before we let you go. Today, you had to make the decision. You just get upgraded from, you know, NFL Insider Joe to Redskins GM Joe to Redskins Coach Joe, and you have one roster decision. And Baker Mayfield's in the building, and you can either start him or Haskins week one. Who are you going with?
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. give me Haskins. This is terrible, but...
What? That is a shocker here, Joe. Fuck, I was going to
I love it with all my heart, but...
Apparently, Baker's been working out at Liberty College recently with some random guy who got drafted in the fourth round.
Oh, no. Gandy?
Gandy, apparently. Gandy? Yeah, dude. He really, he and Gandy have the chemistry right now.
Okay. just give me both the quarterbacks. They're both cheap right now.
All right, dual quarterback system?
Eagles?
Yes.
Eagle style?
Oh, my God. Stupid. Jalen
Hurts. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll, once we get our Eagles expert on later, we'll talk about it. But, yeah, I don't really know there. But, yeah, I guess Redskins-wise, looking at the division, I mean, Cowboys, clear front runners, probably then a big gap. And then I would go Eagles, then Redskins. So, and then probably Giants last. But, hey, maybe
thanks,
Redskins.
Thanks for putting them over the Giants.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if we had a Giants instead or later, maybe we'll change our minds. But
I don't think the Eagles are going to be that good this year.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess they five. I guess I don't get their first round receiver pick. I mean, I guess we'll talk about it more later. But Jalen Reagor didn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, but, out of my 820 hours, none of them went to Jalen Reagor.
No Jalen Reagor, Bill. All right, Joe, this was great, man. That was awesome. Any parting words before we let you go?
No, it's been pretty beast.
Yeah, pretty beast. There you go. That was NFL Redskins insider Joe Meter there. All right, next on the Now That's Beast podcast, we have our very own Packers expert and analyst, plus professional Fortnite player, Pat Goldhammer on. Pat, how are you doing right now?
I'm doing great, boys. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited. Hopefully I become like one of your recurring guests and I can like ride your coattails to fame. This thing really blows up.
Yeah, dude, hopefully it did. That'd be actually like pretty sick. I guess, Pat, for the fans at home who don't know you, want to tell us a little something about yourself?
I'm Patrick. I'm a huge cheesehead, born and raised in Wisconsin. Huge Packers fan. About it for now, I mean.
There we go. Pat was also one of my first buddies when I went to school. It was crazy, you know, one of the first guys I met was also, you know, a Packers insider and analyst. You know, I knew that was going to come in handy one day. I guess as we're talking NFL draft now, the Packers are definitely one of the more interesting drafts out there. What are your thoughts on this year's draft class for them?
Okay, so originally I was pissed. I was like, okay, what are we doing? Trading up to get Jordan Love, who went to Utah State, and he was like not that great at Utah State.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't understand it, but you know, I slept on that a little bit after the first day. I was like, oh, like I don't love the pick, but I kind of get it. You know, like they're picking for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next round, they go and draft a running back, and I was pretty disappointed.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher right there.
Probably our best player, our most productive player last year was Aaron Jones. And you know, if they drafted a running back, there were a lot of running backs on in the board that I liked. Like they got Swift from Penn State, or
yeah, like one of the top guys on the board.
Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, that would have been sick.
Yeah.
But
Wisco boy.
No, they got AJ Dillon, and that I mean, he was a projected fourth rounder on like most sites. Got him in the second round. Didn't understand that. Then they grabbed a tight end, which is like an okay pick. And then they got a linebacker who I'm happy about. And then they go three linemen, a safety, and an edge rusher to finish the draft. So they really like going in, like an absolutely loaded wide receiver draft class. They take zero wide receivers and literally like an all-time wide receiver draft class. So I'm not really happy about that. They're, like I saw on Twitter, somebody like, you know, I'm an insider, so I'm always talking to other insiders. He said that the Packers are drafting like there's not going to be a 2020 season. And you know that's like really true. So this is a good draft for the future of the Packers. But we were a game away from the Super Bowl. You know, like yeah. I don't really think the future is the number one thing.
Yeah, that is interesting right there. I was like thinking about that too. Like the one thing they need is, you know, get Aaron Rodgers some help, get him somebody else besides Davante Adams. And then an interesting stat: when they drafted Jordan Love, that was the first offensive skill position drafted in the first round since Aaron Rodgers. And they're drafting his eventual replacement, which, like, you only draft quarterback in the first round when you, like, don't need one. It was like that's, I forgot who was saying that the other day. Like, oh, that's the best time to, like, actually draft a quarterback so you're, like, ready for the future. And I guess that's what they did with Rodgers. But I, like, don't understand not getting that guy any help. You know, adding A.J. Dillon when they don't need a running back was kind of ridiculous, too. And, like, not adding like any valuable skill position. So that's why I had them graded at a C-, like one of the worst drafts, but they had insider knowledge, no season next year, then maybe this is an A draft class. Maybe they're just like outsmarted all of us.
That's the thing. And you know, I was pissed about Aaron Rodgers' thing, but he is 36 and he has had like 3 or 4 seasons in a row where he's regressed a little bit. And I still think he's an elite quarterback in the NFL, but he's only got so much time. And Jordan Love is like, if he fills out, that guy is like a big boy.
Yeah, no,
like,
he really is.
6'4", got a cannon, like the prototypical Green Bay Packer, you know, so I don't know. Yeah.
True, yeah, it's definitely not a bad, you know, pick. You know, it's like a little interesting when you think they have the other needs, but he could be like, no, he could be their next quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. So that's why I like don't hate that. But just moving on, what's your favorite pick out of the draft class?
My favorite pick is Kamal Martin from Minnesota. They got him in the fifth round, and he's a huge linebacker who plays downhill. He's going to be a banger. He's going to be a good fill guy
for our defense. Yeah, I actually had the same guy. Like, really like him there. Got really good value for him. You know, considering he had a third, fourth round grade on him, and he could be a contributor pretty much right away for them. So yeah, I thought that was a great pick.
I think the reason why he fell is he was out six games his senior year due to knee problems.
Oh,
so I'm guessing my insider knowledge.
Dude, yeah, glad we have an insider on to clarify us on these things.
Yeah, that's why he fell. The Packers saw him there and they decided to grab him, which I'm happy about. The Packers, not only a Packers insider, but as a Packers fan.
Yeah, that's a good one. Garrett, what do you have as your favorite pick of this Packers class?
My favorite pick was Josiah DeGuara, tight end out of Cincinnati.
Going with Josiah, why?
Why is that your favorite pick?
He's going to be a good threat to stretch vertical.
Okay.
Receiving game. Like, they should have taken a receiver, but he's a close second.
Close second. Yeah, right now, and Sternberger sucks. Sternberger.
Josiah DeGuara's highlights is a lot of big blocks. I don't know.
How much DeGuara tape here? We have an insider on here. You got proved. You missed our Redskins interview, but once you play back, Garrett, came up with this sleeping prospect, and we had a guy who had watched 480 hours worth of Redskins tape. Just call Garrett out and be like, "You dumb fuck." Do we have another call out here from our Packers insider? Garrett, we have real.
I don't think Josiah DeGuara is a deep threat the Packers needed, like Garrett's claiming.
Wait, Garrett, I see Garrett's Google history now. He's looking up key buzzwords for tight ends and receivers. He hasn't watched any of the tape. This is ridiculous. Do we have insiders on the show, Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of disrespectful to bring me onto the pod and then ask me ridiculous questions like that.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. All right, we'll move on, though, but let's go out least favorite pick of the draft.
A lot of me wants to go with A.J. Terrell,
You mean the running back?
A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
A big part of me has to go with A.J. Dillon. But I've been doing a lot of reading, and they said that they're seeing him as a Jusek type for the 49ers.
I'm a big Kyle guy.
I love watching Kyle football. So, I mean, if the Packers went three offensive linemen and a fullback, and a big blocking tight end, even though your co-host says he's a deep threat.
We'll see you next year. We'll make a little wager on this. If Josiah DeGuara makes, let's say, what's a deep threat to you, Garrett? What's a stat you're like, oh, dude, that proves he's a deep threat?
Yards per catch.
Yards per catch. If it's yards per catch, what's a fair number here to prove he's a deep threat? 15? 20?
8 yards a catch?
Dude, 8 yards.
That's not a deep threat.
That is not a deep threat. We'll say, how about this? We'll say plays above, catches above 40 yards, or receiving plays above 40.
Oh, yeah, plus 20 plays.
Plus 20 plays. If he goes, you think 8 plus 20 plays or 10 plus 20 plays?
I'll give him 5 plus 20 plays at least.
Okay, I could go out there and grab 5 plus 20 plays next year.
Mark, Garrett, sounds like you're not very confident that he's a deep threat.
Yeah. This is ridiculous, Garrett.
Dude, okay, look, guys, I don't want to come onto your show and insult your intelligence. That's the last thing I'm trying to do here. But that to be your favorite pick also is ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
Are you friends with Josiah? Do you have him on the phone right now? Did you promise him oh yeah, dude, I'll say you're my favorite on the pod? What's going on with this Josiah guy?
Time out.
What are you looking up right now? He's doing some research right now.
You know, Matt, I appreciate your professionalism.
Thank you. I put in the time on the tape.
Oh, ooh.
Your research into the pod, but
wait,
Garrett,
ESPN.
I think
ESPN says he flashes as a vertical route runner. He's fast enough to make plays down the seam, and he's not much of a threat after the catch. But he has good hands.
He's not a threat,
and also he's not big enough to hold up as an inline blocker.
Garrett, here's the thing: I watch the tape. I don't just read the 3-sentence bio on ESPN.
Garrett, we watch tape here. We're insiders. This isn't an unprofessional podcast. This is some serious stuff, and next time, before we get into our next interview, I'm making you watch at least 12 hours of tape on whoever your favorite player is in the cat.
Thank you. Maybe this won't happen again.
Sorry for the unprofessionalism there. We'll work on it.
Where were we in the interview? What'd you ask?
Oh, least favorite pick. I actually had AJ Dillon because I finally, you probably just saw me right down. I was like filling this out and I see Garrett looking over my shoulder. Like I have my film up on six different screens, you know, filling this out. And Garrett's like looking over, like reading on ESPN, like looking up like, oh, football for dummies, like words. Like, yeah, I had AJ Dillon too. I just don't really see the need. But I guess, you know, the Kyle, like, you know, I didn't read that though, where to have him play more as a Kyle Juszczyk. Juszczyk type. Out of all the, you know, better things they could have gotten in the second round, I was like, why go AJ Dillon there? Like, I don't know, I didn't really get it. Yeah, that's my thought there.
My least favorite pick is Simon Stepanek. He's listed as a tackle in the draft, but so, you know, Sif, as an insider, my like number one thing when I'm looking at O linemen is their arm length.
Yeah, of course.
Short arms. He did not have the arms to play tackle.
Okay.
And if the Packers draft, and he played a lot of guard in college too at Indiana.
Oh, interesting.
Issue with that though, they drafted a guard and a center right before him. So they took John Runyon from Michigan, who I love.
Yeah.
And Jake Hansen, a center from Oregon, who I'm on. But I just don't know what their plan is with Stepanek from Indiana. So we'll see with that.
Yeah. I guess we'll see how that goes. But I guess moving on here, what's your outlook for, if we have a 2020 NFL season, where do you see the Packers standing? Are they still division contenders? Are they NFC contenders? Are they possibly Super Bowl contenders next year?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough question. I think they have a chance. They had a great season last year, again, like one game away from the Super Bowl. And I think they're in a really tough division. I was listening to the pod last week, actually, and you guys said the NFC South is the hardest division in football.
Yeah, Yeah, you think the North?
I think, I'm not going to say it's the North, but I don't think it's like a for sure the South thing. Like, I think the Falcons are way worse than other people, but yeah. I don't know about the Bucks.
Yeah, I guess I was pretty hyped up on like the Bucks when I was there. It was like I just did a cocaine shot of the NFC West right before we did the pod. So I was like, NFC South?
NFC South.
Garrett was kind of echoing you there. But I think the 2 years ago, the Bears were 12-4, like deep run in the playoff scene. The Vikings have always been good the last 3 years. They've made the playoffs and knocked the Saints off.
Yeah.
Your boys. And then I think that it'll be interesting to see what the Lions can do. You know, they didn't have a great season last year, but I think they have the pieces to be a good team. So I don't know. I'm a little worried there. I don't think the Packers got much worse this offseason, but I also don't think they got much better. And I think other teams got better. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm hopeful, but I'm not super confident.
Yeah, I was just really hoping they'd get another receiver, you know, alongside Devontae Adams. But Garrett, I mean, you know.
Dude, maybe they're going for the Antonio Brown play.
Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, is he a guy you'd like to see in a Packers uniform?
Yeah, even though he didn't catch it, I would still love to see him in a Packers uniform.
All right, I guess that one play was against the Packers.
That was definitely a catch.
Oh, argument here. Do we have an insider on, Garrett? Are you sure you want to get into this right now?
No, because you're just going to bully me.
No, Garrett, I respect what you're doing.
We're just messing with you, Garrett. We know you watch a little bit of tape. He does have his tape on. It's all right. Josiah will make some plays next year. Yeah, I guess one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I forgot where I saw this, but, you know, like, the thought that, you know, Aaron Rodgers might be so pissed that and, like, not wanting to mentor Jordan Love that eventually that he'd move on to the Bears. Like, what would be your thoughts on that potential situation?
Yeah, I saw that too, and you know where I saw that.
Where?
I saw that on a funny follow on Twitter. His username is Barry McCockiner.
Maybe that is where I saw that.
No joke. That's where I saw that. So I don't know. I think like people give Aaron Rodgers a hard time because he hates his family and doesn't talk to them. But you know, I think he's a good team guy. I don't think he'll be too offended by this. And you know, Brett Favre was a dick to Aaron Rodgers when he was drafted. And Aaron Rodgers is very public about how much that hurt him and how much he really hated that. So I'm hopeful that maybe that won't happen. I guess we never know.
Do you think any chance he calls Favre up and asks for advice?
no chance. Yeah. No, they are a little bit better now that they have the whole like Joe Montana, Steve Young thing going. I mean, I've been lucky. I've had a good quarterback on the Packers every year of my life.
Yeah,
being a fan and insider, which is 20 years now. So
that's crazy. 20 years as an insider and fan. It's been a good time in Green Bay.
Not only am I an insider, but I'm actually a partial owner.
Oh, what percentage?
It doesn't matter. Partial owner.
Yeah, turns out I was just looking into it. Garrett's actually a partial owner in Josiah DeGuara's startup company, and maybe that's where this bias is coming in.
That does make a lot of sense.
That's some answers for you. All right, Patrick. Thanks for coming on, man. You know, really appreciate it. It's a great interview. Any closing thoughts before we let you go?
Do you guys have a name for your listeners yet?
For our listeners?
Yeah. Like, are they have something for your fans?
I don't know. You have any ideas?
I don't right now, but I just want to say to all those Now That Beast listeners.
Beastie Boys?
I like that.
That's just off the top of my head.
To all the Beastie Boys, keep supporting these guys. They may come off as idiots in the first 20 minutes of their pod, but if you really listen for the good stuff, there are some absolute gems that they're going to drop on you. So I'm really proud.
All right, now on the Now That's Beast podcast, we are truly excited to have our Eagles official expert analyst insider, Sam Culp, formerly Blair Football sideline announcer. Sam, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Great, man. Great. You know, so good. So glad to have you on today. So Sam, for the people, the fans at home, the Beastie Boys at home listening, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Sam Culp. I'm graduating from Blair. I'm a senior right now. I'm going to the University of Maryland next year. For the last couple of years, I've been writing for Silverchips Online, covering the Blair football team. And, hopefully I'm going to be doing the same at UMD.
Wow, that's a busy schedule. All that plus the official expert Eagles analyst insider. Yeah, it's a busy.
Exactly.
Lot on your plate right now, Sam. Crazy stuff. All right, let's get right into it. What's your grade on this draft class? What are your overall thoughts with it?
All right, so I mean the theme of this draft for the Eagles was confusion, and with that, I give them a C+ grade.
All right, C+.
There were a lot of confusing picks there. Sorry.
All right, so C+. Did you?
Yeah, C+. You know, there were some good picks in there. There's also a lot thing we're going to get into in a sec. But, yeah, C+, solid draft, but a lot to be improved on.
Yeah, me myself, I had the Eagles. I'm a little higher on this Eagles draft than most because I'm a supporter of a guy, I guess, that a lot of people aren't. But we'll talk about later when we get into our favorite picks. I had him at a flat B, but I also add the Marquise Goodwin trade in here and consider that part of the draft class because I think he's a guy who could be a contributor here for the Eagles, especially when they're short at receiver. Pick up a couple guys. They fill some needs. There's obviously some holes still there, but I just have it flat B. How about you, Gare?
I gave it a B as well. I thought they had some late steals and filled some good holes.
Gare, why do you have C written on your paper? You just like...
It says B.
Sorry, we're just messing with Garrett here. If you guys just are tuning in now, Garrett's struggled a bit with the interview so far. Analysts calling him out, insiders, just calling him for his shit. So, Sam, at any time, if you can tell Garrett hasn't watched the tape on these guys, just call him out on it right away. Sam, me and you, football experts, analysts, I've watched probably on the Eagles, starting about a couple months ago, probably, 100 hours of tape? What are you at right now?
I mean, I'm probably looking at, 110, 120 probably. Yeah. just the last
over
month.
Over the last 3 days, I've watched 70 hours of film.
You can't even keep a straight. Garrett's probably watched about 6 minutes, just looking over my shoulder when I have my Eagles stuff going. Maybe 6 minutes. Enough on Gary. Let's go. Let's move on. We'll go, what's your favorite pick out of this Eagles draft class?
Yeah, for me, this was really easy. Kayvon Wallace, fourth round pick for the Eagles, the safety from Clemson. Okay. He had a really, really good career at Clemson. I mean, 3-year starter. I was shocked that he made it to the fourth round. He's a hard hitting safety, plays all over the field, and fits exactly what the Eagles need.
Yeah, that was a great pick. Really fills a big need there. Immediate contributor. Definitely a good get in the fourth round. That's great value. We go my favorite pick. Now, this is going to turn some heads. This might spark a little conversation from you here, Sam. But I actually go Jalen Hurts at the second round. If you listened to the podcast last week, I told you I'm a Jalen Hurts believer. And I like this pick for, a couple reasons. But the main one being is a stat I read the other day. The Eagles have made the playoffs
what's it, like three of the past 4 years or 3 or 4 years in a row. And out of all those playoff games, I don't think Carson Wentz has played a snap. Or is it Carson Wentz has only played a couple snaps? And they've had backup quarterbacks. Yeah, all right, what are you saying, Sam?
Yeah, you're right on that. I mean, Carson has not played a playoff game yet. But he made it through last year completely healthy. He pulled a team that should have had no business making the playoffs into the playoffs. Number one receiver last year was Greg Ward, a college quarterback from Houston. I mean, they had no business making the playoffs last year, and Carson got them there. He got hurt in the playoff game against the Seahawks on a dirty hit by Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why he didn't take many snaps. So.
You know, true that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess there just is, like, there's always the injury concerns. And I don't know, I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's a guy also, you know, they talked about me. I don't think he's quite a Taysom Hill type because I don't think, you know, he's going to play special teams or anything like that. But Doug Peterson's a creative play caller, and they've always been creative in Philly. And, you know, maybe some read option stuff, getting him in a couple plays a game. And also just having a high-quality backup in Hurts, I think, is going to be helpful. But, yeah, I could see, you know, the problems, you know, like waste, you know, not wasting, but, you know, taking him that early when you have other needs. But I personally like the pick because I'm a Hurts guy. How about you, Garrett?
My favorite pick was Prince Tego Wanogo out of Auburn in the sixth round.
Why are you getting this stuff? What do you like about Prince, Garrett?
I think he's a good player. He can... might be able to come in and compete for that tackle spot after Jason Peters left.
Okay,
fair. He fell so far in the draft because he hurt his knee and had to, like, medical redshirt the Senior Bowl and, like, a lot of the combine.
All right, fair enough.
But other than that, I think he can be a good player if he's healthy.
You're saying Steele here in the sixth round?
Yes.
Steele? All right, fair enough. It looked like you watched a little bit of film on this one.
I've watched 7 hours of film on him.
I'm just Prince Titcher. I can't even read that name.
I know, my handwriting's not very good.
That's classic. All right, Sam, let's move on. Let's go. Sam, what's your least favorite pick of this draft class?
Yeah, my least favorite pick is Hurts.
I sensed that coming.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, I understand everything that you say. You know, NFL is a quarterback league, and you have to have a solid backup nowadays, especially with a quarterback, granted, who has been hurt in the past couple of years, but... in the second round, especially in this draft, when the class is so deep, I mean, there were multiple guys still on the board when the Eagles were picking that I thought could have been starters day one. Zach Bond, a linebacker out of Wisconsin, he could have started day one for the Eagles, who are really weak at linebacker. Also, wide receiver Denzel Mims, he could have started right away for the Eagles, and instead they go with the backup. And it's just frustrating because I thought the last year established Carson as the go-to quarterback, as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. And instead they draft his backup, and it just fuels the conversation for another season about whether he has a spot in Philly for the future.
You know, I guess I didn't think about it more from that perspective. I thought, you know, I guess, you know, after last year, I thought Wentz's position as a starter was pretty clear established. And I thought pick more is more of a security reason and, you know, maybe more creativity in the offense with Jalen. But yeah, I see what you mean, though, especially, you know, with receiver being such a big need. And, like, I think they were, like, the remaining receivers going into the draft. They put up the stat, I think, on ESPN. It was just, like, ridiculous, the guys they had left. Yeah. So I think definitely they needed another guy. And, yeah, I could see out of being an Eagles fan being frustrated there. I personally, for my least favorite pick, this is just my opinion. I didn't like Reagor in the first round. Thought it was a little bit of a reach, especially with Justin Jefferson getting picked. Well, you got picked one pick later by Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or by, was it
by
Buffalo?
Minnesota.
Blazing. Yeah. I mean, as I said earlier, Justin Jefferson was my favorite receiver in the draft. So that's why I was a little frustrated with the Eagles there. I was like, come on, get Jefferson. Like, he's a playmaker. And I thought there was another, you know, Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. T. Higgins out of Clemson, who I had rated higher. So that's my opinion there. But I see it's a need. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm not in the Eagles front office for a reason. They have guys in there who know what they're doing. You know, maybe they, you know, Rieger's probably their guy, and, you know, I got to respect them going with their gut. What do you think, Gare?
My least favorite pick was Quez Watkins, a wide receiver out of Southern Miss.
Okay.
I thought he was the third receiver they'd taken in the draft, so there's not really much possibility of him playing, especially after they traded for Marquise Godwin.
Fair enough. Yeah, they did get Godwin.
Just kind of a guy that's going to be on the team. Maybe play special teams. I don't know. I just didn't really like the pick.
I thought there was bigger needs to be filled.
Yeah.
Right, you're actually sounding pretty smart this interview, Garrett. I appreciate the work you put in, the effort.
I was just going to say, on Reagor, I mean, he was their guy. He was the Eagles guy, and they need speed big time, and they added it in this draft with Kez Watkins and Jalen Reagor. So to, you know, Reagor was always their guy. It's frustrating that they passed on Jefferson based on what Jefferson did in that LSU offense with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He would have had a quarterback with, you know, Carson Wentz who could get him the ball, get him touches. But, you know, Reagor is a playmaker. And if you watch his tape from TCU, he made plays all over the field. And if he had a better quarterback at TCU, I think his numbers would have been comparable to Jefferson.
Fuck, that's a good point, dude. Fuck, I gotta watch more film.
You have to be more professional. Yeah. This is embarrassing. He's coming on insider podcast.
Yeah, this is embarrassing for us. You know, we have an insider on. We only watched 90 hours and 6 minutes of film combined. And, you know, I'm telling you, hours 91 through 97 were all dedicated to Reagor. I just ran out of time before this. Yeah, I know. I respect the guy. I mean, I respect their pick of Reagor. It was a Vontae Maxx situation. Jalen Reagor, no matter what. And I guess, you know, I've watched it. He seems like a great player. And I guess when I put him down as my least favorite pick, I wasn't trying to just knock how talented he was. But I don't know. I was just more.
Thought they could have gone better places with that.
Better place. There you go. That sounded better. But yeah, that's what I thought there. But anyways, let's move on. Let's go. What is your outlook for this upcoming Eagles season?
I mean, it's a tough division. It's a division that got better in the draft. The Giants and the Redskins both add good players in the early picks. Obviously, Chase Young from just around the D.C. area here. And of course, the Cowboys drafting CeeDee Lamb and then Trayvon Diggs in the second round. So both of those, all three of those teams improved, and the Eagles, you know, they improved. I don't think they took the step up like all of us Eagles fans were hoping for. We were hoping to get, you know, to solidify this team as a Super Bowl contender once again, and I'm not sure that we're there yet. They're still going to compete for a division. But, you know, to place them in that upper tier, the NFC, I don't think they're quite there.
Okay. No, interesting thought there. Yeah, I mean, looking at the NFC East now, I think the Eagles are still clearly a step ahead of the Redskins. I mean, I'm personally not a Haskins believer. You know, anyway, if Carson Wentz is healthy, this is a team that won, what did they win, 10 games last year? Or did they win 9? Were they 9-7 or 10?
They won 9 last year.
9-7 still. I think, they won the division. So I think they're still up there. I think they're still clearly above the Redskins. I think they're above the Giants still. I do think the Cowboys got a whole lot better in this draft. I think adding CeeDee Lamb just makes that offense absolutely electric. So I do think they're a step below the Cowboys. But who knows? Maybe, you know, if Wentz stays healthy, Reagor becomes a playmaker. They bring in Goodwin. Still have Zach Ertz. You know, maybe, you know, Eagles could have a successful year next year. I mean, this is a wait-and-see moment. But I guess before you know, we get to the season, is there anything you're looking at out for the Eagles in terms of free agency or trades?
I mean, they definitely could add some more players, especially on defense. They have some holes to fill at linebacker, so I could see them, you know, making a trade or a possible free agency pickup there. But I mean, the roster that's there now is going to be the roster for the most part going into next season, and I still think they're going to be in that, you know, 8 to 10 win range, and that could get them into the playoffs, especially. With this upcoming season, they're adding another playoff team. So, you know, they could still be a playoff team, but it was just disappointing to not see them take that next step up, get a CeeDee Lamb, get a playmaker who can really, take this team to the next level.
Yeah, I feel a disappointment there. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, they are probably stuck in what you'd call the NBA no man's land, or you're, you know, a little bit above 500. But I guess it's better in the NFL. I mean, there's one thing I noticed between the NBA and the NFL. I feel like the worst place to be in the NBA is, like, right around, like, the edge of the playoffs. Like, either as that last playoff team. Because if you're the last playoff team, you're around 500, you have no fucking shot at beating in a seven-game series. You have no chance. And then you have, like, not a great draft pick either. So you're kind of screwed. You're stuck. You're like the Atlanta Hawks for, like, our entire childhood growing up, just being average. And then,
except for those.
Or the Wizards.
Where they won, like, 60 games.
Or the Wizards, yeah. And then, but you look in the NFL, that's actually, like, I was thinking that's not the worst place to be. I mean, the Eagles, when they made their Super Bowl run a couple years ago, what were they? I might be mistaken.
They were the one seed.
Oh, they were the one seed. See, I got to stop talking on here. It's a Giants.
We have an insider on.
Fuck, somebody recently was seeded like fifth or sixth and made it like really far.
The Titans.
No, I'm talking about somebody won a Super Bowl. All right, I'm going to look this up afterwards. I'm telling you I'm not like tripping on this.
Okay. I believe you.
Appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, it's actually not a bad place to be, especially, you know, it's one game in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
Anybody can go out and win a game. So, you know, hey, if the Eagles, especially with the extra playoffs, Eagles can get themselves in playoff contention, they'll be good to go. But thanks so much, Sam. I really appreciate your insider knowledge. You know, definitely one of our more impressive interviews. Really, yeah.
Put me and Garrett knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable. Put me and Garrett on the spot. You know, we're going to do some more research, get some more film going. We have the Jalen Reagor tape rolling right now as we're just, you know, trying to catch ourselves up. But, Sam, before we let you go, you have any last thoughts for the fans at home?
Beastie Boys.
Yeah, go, fly Eagles fly. I'm looking forward to the upcoming NFL season, and thank you guys for having me. I love the podcast. The first episode was awesome, so I'm looking for great things to come.
Awesome. Thank you, man. All right, guys. That was Sam Kolb, our expert Eagles insider analyst. That was a fantastic interview. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, now on the Now That's Beast podcast, we're truly excited and blessed to have yet another unbelievable Redskins insider and analyst here with us today. Danny Cole, how are you doing, man?
Hey, hashtag blessed, man. We're all living the quarantine dream.
There we go. Hashtag respect this decision. Danny, for all those fans at home who don't quite know you yet, can you tell us a little something about yourself?
Let's see. I had the pleasure of coaching not one, but two. Both of you Sips, which is hard to believe that I'm that old. But Matthew Sips, sometimes referred to as the GOAT from Blair High School. I have no comment. And Garrett Sips, who was once a budding soccer star, now finds himself a future football recruit potentially, right? And if nothing else, a future in radio.
Yeah, maybe. Wow. What a transformation there for Gare. But let's get right into this. Redskins draft, not a great season last year, but, you know, hoping to rebuild this year. What are your thoughts? What are your grade on this year's draft class?
Well, let's see. I think let's start with the first one. The Chase Young pick, I think, was obvious, and it was a need, and, you know, nothing is for sure, but by everything you read and see, he's the most for sure. So, you know, I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. Yes, they still need a quarterback. I'm not a Haskins guy.
Okay. Glad we're all in agreement here. I'm not quite sold on Haskins.
I was not a Haskins guy. I've never been, and he was okay, but I don't think where they were that they could take Tua with Tua's injury risk, picking number two, and have Tua flame out and then be in this perpetual state of needing a quarterback for another 10 years. I mean, they thought they solved their quarterback when they traded up to number two for RG3 in 2012. We know how that worked out. And they lucked in the Cousins, and they screwed that one up. So they just have not had a franchise quarterback, really, in my lifetime, which is pretty incredible since they've actually won Super Bowls in that time with, you know, much better coaching. So I think that just they couldn't swing and miss at that. So the smart play was to take Chase Young. So I'm good with that. Now, I mean, he has to come in and dominate. Like, he has to be Khalil Mack or Vontae Mack, for that matter.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
No matter what, he's got to be Khalil Mack. And, you know, he needs double-digit sacks the next, like, 8-9 years of his career to kind of justify this. But being said, if he can do that, I think the plan is for him to help the defense be solid and improved and good. And then they can slowly build up the offense, because they're going to suck next year regardless. I mean, they're going to be, I think, if there's a season, I think 6 wins might be their high watermark. Anyone who's realistic for next year, even if the defense is much better. So I think Rivera knows that he can't address everything in one fell swoop.
So what are you thinking grade-wise here? MCPS grading system, A through E's?
Well, they tried, right? So they get 50% for trying. Right, so they tried, enough. So it's got to be at least an E, right? You need plus, maybe. I'd say all in all, you know, it would have been lovely to get back into the second round and take there are a bunch of receivers there, some tackles. They got a tackle prospect in the fourth with Sadiq Charles from LSU. You know, he's talented. He's got the size, but he's suspended all over the place. And, you know, can he be a starting left tackle? Can he not? Who knows? He's not going to replace Trent Williams. So they got some guys there, pieces, but, you know, this would have been a good year to have a second round pick. If they could have traded Trent Williams way back when their dummy Bruce Allen had traded him when he should have, then they would have been in better shape. But all being said, I'll maybe a B-minus for the guys. I mean, the top heavy, I think my first thought of, like, Antonio Gibson, the third-round guy from Memphis, he's like a hybrid, you know, running back receiver, was like, why the hell would they pick up another running back? That's the one room where they have so many guys.
Yeah.
But when you look at him, and I actually listened to an interview with his former coach, who's now the FSU coach. Sorry, no, that's blasphemy to speak
Norvell. To
also to mention the Noles. I apologize.
Yeah,
I did,
not on
speak,
this
so,
podcast.
Yeah, yes, I was listening to a different podcast. I apologize.
That's all right. We know you're a busy man as the official Redskins insider expert analyst. Lots of podcasts booking you up.
Got to get my information, what can I say? but he just spoke glowingly about kind of how he would just fit into wherever they need him to be, and he plays special teams, and And so, you know, at first I was kind of confused by that and thought it was maybe a reach, but the more I see it, I think they'll just kind of, he's just a weapon to use on offense, whether it be in different, he gives them flexibility in terms of packages and personnel from 11 to 10 to 20 and different ways to kind of keep him on the field. And it's just a guy who can just, who can make plays. They had no playmakers last year except for Terry McLaurin and really don't have any more this year. So it's like, he's just a little piece to maybe make Haskins' life a little bit easier on a 3rd and 4. We flex him out or something like that. So they did a decent job with that. And, you know, if Sadiq Charles can become a starting left tackle or tackle in the league for 4th-round pick, that's amazing. I don't think it'll happen this year. They have no left tackle. Haskins will probably get sacked, you know, 100 times this year. But, you know, that's a project. I think, again, I think Rivera knows that this is a very much a rebuilding team, especially offensively. So they're going to give this year, if there's a year, to see if Haskins is a good or if it's a bust, and then kind of go from there and reset next year with, we're filling some more holes on offense.
Yeah, makes sense. I personally had the class graded at a C+, so similar range. I like the Chase Young pick, like, way to just go Vontae back no matter what, Chase Young no matter what, like, don't mess it up. You know, I was hoping they would get a receiver or trade up into the 2nd round, too, to get Haskins some help. Yeah, the Antonio Gibson pick, like, you know, I guess I understand it more now. It still doesn't seem like a great pick, especially being their 2nd pick overall in the draft, and like kind of a reach. And then I was also hoping, like, you know, with like Jake Fromm being on the board so long, oh, maybe get a, you know, a quality backup, a quality guy to maybe come in and compete with Haskins. But
well, so, you know, I would say that I believe he was there in the 5th round when they picked this center, Keith Ishmael. I believe he was there.
Yeah.
Right around there. I personally would have taken a flyer on Fromm, as you said, because I think he should not have come out. I think the draft probably supports that, but the fact he was taken 5th round as an underclassman.
Yeah.
But he played at a high level. You know, he fought off, when he was at Georgia, Jake Eason was a starter. Eason got hurt. Fromm kind of seized that job as a true freshman and led them to what should have been a championship victory over Alabama.
Exactly.
You know what happened.
Yeah.
He's played high level football. He's got good size, good measurables. Arm is not the best. But, you know, he has that experience and some of those intangibles that I would have taken the flyer on personally, but I believe they didn't, because in that quarterback room, as you know, Matt, you play the position.
Yeah.
You know, they have Haskins, who's a second-year guy. They traded for Kyle Allen from Carolina, who is going to be a third-year guy who knows the, you know, system they're trying to run. Yeah. If you bring in a rookie quarterback there, I just think that's a lot in that QB room, man, for competition, and you got fragile egos now. I think that, yeah. I think that more than anything is why they didn't do that. Now, they did bring in some undrafted rookie QB from Colorado, but that's just to take snaps in preseason.
Yeah,
and I don't think, I mean, technically they have Alex Smith, but I think in spite of what we saw in E60, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, after reading that article and watching that, I don't think that guy's playing again. But Garrett, what do you have this graded at?
I gave it a C.
Okay.
I thought they made some like good late round picks, some dudes that are like going to come in and play special teams right away, then maybe develop into starters in the league.
Okay.
But I just really didn't like the Antonio Gibson pick.
Okay. How many hours of film have you watched on Gibson now?
I've watched at least 27 hours of film on Antonio Gibson, and I can tell you he is just like a worse version of McKinnon and Chris Thompson.
Dude, but me and our insider have watched 80 hours each, Garrett. Does that tell you how to be prepared for these interviews? Hey, what are you saying, Danny?
First, my first question was going to ask Garrett how many hours of huddle he watched last year. I bet it wasn't 27, but that's beside the point. That is a good point. But they did find J.D. McKissick from the Lions that they see as a similar guy. Was a receiver in college, became a running back in the NFL. He's really just a receiver who happens to, you know, play the position of running back. So that does make it a bit superfluous. That's a little surprising that they did that. And I know they have. Going to sign Peyton Barber. They have 18 running backs. My guess is they'll end up cutting Barber. Geis will probably be hurt as always. Bryce Love will be hurt as always. They'll stash him on IR, cut him. My guess
is they'll
end up with like 4.
Is Adrian Peterson still there?
He's their RB1. He's their Chris Watkins. So I assume he'll be there because I think Rivera likes that he's old and has kind of the respect and the work ethic that he wants to establish for the culture. He's got 1 more year left. And then Geis, you never know. Geis had, ironically, his 1 good game, best game last year of his career was against Rivera. So Rivera saw that in person, that if he's healthy, he could be effective. But again, I'm not really counting any of that nonsense. So I agree, Garrett, you did make a good point about, you know, the kind of redundancy of picking him when you have McKissick guy. So I'm with you on that.
Maybe Rivera's getting experimental here, going for the first ever 5 running back set. the first ever zero package. You know, you have like 10, 20, 21, just the first ever double zero package, five running backs.
They could take it back to the wing team, but I don't think they have the offensive line to block for it. So unfortunately, that's going to shut that down.
That is a good point. All right, let's move on here. Let's go. What's your favorite pick of this draft class for the Redskins?
Favorite pick, you know, I'm going to skip the obvious Chase Young. I actually would have been okay with them trading down too had they gotten a couple first rounders. Just because they have so many holes to fill. You know, I'm that guy where if Chase Young is Lawrence Taylor, then sure. But if he's a guy who's good, if he's like Ryan Kerrigan, who's good, but he's not transforming your defense where the opponent has to, you know, spend a lot of time and resources and manpower devoted to stopping him, then it, to me, it's, you know, take two first round picks, a receiver and a tackle and be done, whatever. But that didn't happen, so be that as it may. I'm not going to do the gifts and things we touched on him. Charles, I would like to say that, but I just don't know. I'll go with Antonio Gandy Golden, AGG, as they call him down at Liberty.
Okay.
Fighting Jerry Falwell down at Liberty.
There we go. Our other Redskins insider was a huge Gandy Golden fan as well from Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know a ton about him. I actually learned more about him coming up to the draft, and like Santana Moss loved him, and some other guys who kind of scout were all about him. And, you know, he's a fourth-round pick, but he's got good size. You know, he played against the inferior competition for the most part until the last year or so. But when he did play those D1 teams, albeit, you know, Rutgers and Syracuse, he showed out pretty well. And he struggles to get off the jam coverages still. He gets a little – he doesn't quite bend as well, gets a little tall in some of his route running coming out of breaks. Garrett, as you know, very important to kind of keep that bend. But I think that's something that you can work on because he's still kind of unpolished. But what I like about him is that the more you read about him off the field, he's a guy who he can do a Rubik's Cube in like 4 seconds. You know, he taught himself how to play instruments, things like that. He just seems like a guy who works hard. When he picks something up, he just won't stop until he kind of gets it, which obviously if you translate that to sports and his work ethic would bode very well. So right, I think I'll go with AGG.
Next level film analysis right there, the Rubik's Cube test. But shoot, am I probably 47 hours on Gandy Gibson? I think hour 49 through 50 was dedicated to the Rubik's Cube solving skills. So, you know, it's on me for not being fully prepared there. But
he did, and they also had extra reel at the end of him just on the jug machine for like 80 hours a day. So you might want to check that out. I think that was the extras or the deleted scenes maybe on that highlight reel. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll get on that right after this. But me going favorite pick, I did go obvious here, but Chase Young, I mean, like, just didn't mess it up. I am a big Burrow guy, but I do think he was the best player in this class. I think he's an immediate contributor. No, I mean, hey, you'll be successful on defense if you can rush the passer. So, I mean, he's a franchise guy, hopefully. So that's, you know, he's pick two. I was worried the Redskins were going to mess it up. They didn't. They took him. That's my favorite pick. How about you, Gare?
My favorite pick is another weird one. James Smith-Williams out of NC State. The last pick in the draft. I think he's not going to come in and play right away with Montez Sweat and Chase Young on both sides, but I think he ran the fastest 40 out of any defensive end or defensive lineman in the combine. So I think he's going to come and play special teams and maybe eventually transition into being a starter in the league.
Garrett's the biggest special teams believer in all year. Draft for special teams.
That's
very insightful. Garrett, how many special teams did you play last year, just out of curiosity?
I was on...
And kicking doesn't count. Kicking doesn't count.
None.
So none. Zero special teams.
Yeah, okay.
Coach, and Matthew, how many, next year?
Matthew, how many special teams did you play in your career in high school, now college?
Let me think. JV, I was the personal protector on punt team.
Yep, I know you were a backup quarterback on punt block, or at least your junior year.
Yeah, junior year. I was the punt block
corner.
Or was
it field goal? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I feel so this snap too. So yeah, I'm a special teamer, ATH.
Okay, so we can give credence to what you guys are saying. Okay, just want to clarify that. That's okay.
Yeah, we're big special teams guys here. I just want to run down the field.
I actually have one more. It's kind of cheating, but I actually think they signed Thaddeus Moss as a free agent, and they only signed a couple. Now it's not kind of cheating. I don't necessarily have expectations for him because I know he has the name and his bonus that he showed out in a big way, and when it counted, he had touched down the championship game, and he played well down the stretch when people were watching him. He's athletic. I don't think he's anything special, but they have no tight ends. I mean, I think, you know, they really have you know, Richard Rodgers they signed, and Logan Thomas, Vatek, who's quarterback now for the tight end. They have no one playing tight end. So he's a body, and so if he could lead and contribute and block, and they could keep him on the roster, that would be helpful because he's on the cheap. But they went after Greg Olsen. They looked at some other guys, and they whiffed it off the hoop and didn't want to pay off one, which is fine. So I think if he could even contribute at all making the roster, that would be considered a win for them too.
Yeah, for sure. Is Jordan Reed healthy again, or is that guy like just done?
He visited Seattle, Buffalo, some other teams, and basically the same teams that Greg Olsen visited, and obviously Olsen ended up signing with Seattle. I don't know. I hope the hell he just calls it a career, because it's a shame. And he was talented, and basically as soon as they paid him, man, the next year is when he hurt himself again, and he's probably pretty much been done since then. It's a shame, but at some point you got to think, look at your family, and say it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I know how talented Jordan Reed is, but I will never forgive him for fumbling at the 1 yard line against Georgia. The year we were, what were we, like 9-0 going into that game, Gare? Like 9-1? And then we would have went to the SEC
championship. Tried to hurdle someone in front
of the
end zone.
Yeah, it was like, I think down by one score, caught the ball at the 5, like, just could have just like ran in. He's a big guy, but instead tried to hurdle. And then when he hurdled, he just dropped the ball and then fumbled, and we lost to fucking Georgia again. Sorry about the language, Mom.
But who was the coach? Was it McElwain the coach? What year are we talking about?
That was Muschamp.
Was it Muschamp or McElwain?
Probably Muschamp.
It might have still been Muschamp. It was.
Oh.
I can't.
So
I can't
remember. You guys would have lost anyway. It doesn't matter.
Was that the year where we were 11-1, didn't make the SEC championship?
Yeah, we went 11
to Louisville. We lost Teddy Bridgewater.
So I was in seventh grade. Maybe I was in sixth grade. So 2012, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Still never forgive Jordan Reed.
Yeah, we would have made the national championship that year
if he didn't fumble. But yeah. All right, let's go. Go least favorite pick. What do you have, Danny?
You know, I thought about this. I don't really have a big issue with any of them. I thought at the time when they took Charles that there's a couple other guys there, tight end or tackle, that aside from him, that might have been a safer pick. Again, if he turns into someone who has a chip on his shoulder, is willing to work, and all of his bad habits, things that happened in the past are behind him, and he becomes like an NFL starter, then that's wonderful for a fourth round pick. But I thought at the time that we're not in a position to kind of reach for guys who, just in case they turn out to have that upside, that we need guys who can fill holes, because we, again, have no tackles, no linemen, no tight ends. But there are a couple other guys there that at least would have been serviceable, that would have been ready to step on the field in some capacity next year, which he may not be or may never be.
I think me and Garrett had the same here. We both had Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, he's reading off my paper again.
Not really. Garrett caught, I guess once you hear the other interviews, you'll realize this, but it's the last one. Garrett's trying to learn, but the other one's Garrett was getting burned by our insiders because he wasn't doing any of his own research. I mean, I have my 6 computer screens up with multiple film rolling, and he's just like trying to look over and trying to copy down my names, but he's just getting absolutely flamed here. But he saw me write down Gibson and was like, oh, see, he even spelled it right too. He spelled Ontario Gibson on his paper.
Yeah, no, before Matt, like, he had the reverse of what me and the analyst had, and he's just, right then he's like, yeah, this is my favorite player. Matt just draws arrows in.
Yeah, to the slayer.
Fourth grade error.
All right, whatever. Yeah, it's Antonio.
You guys are like,
wait, what are you saying?
You guys are like McShane type. You guys are like McShane Kuiper, man, just trying to argue over who watched more film this week. You watched like 87 hours, and Garrett read like 84, so yeah. You gotta crank up those numbers.
Ron Jaworski watched more than both of us, though. Guys, like, really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, we both Gibson. I mean, yeah, nothing against him, actually. Like, actually watching his film afterwards, he is a really talented player and could help, but I just thought they had more needs there, and it was a little bit of a reach. All right, let's move on. I know you have some hot takes, some bold predictions. What are your, some predictions for this NFL season and your outlook for the Redskins?
I will. I had a prediction about the Grinnell fighting Pioneers, but I called that off to, like, I don't know how Corona's affecting them, so I don't want to make a prediction with that
Now.
Okay,
well, hold off
honest.
On the Grinnell.
I'll keep that under wraps. Let's see. NFL, the two, I'll call them hot takes. The two thoughts I had was I, in assessing it, I do not think the Patriots will make the playoffs next year.
Okay.
It's not an indictment of Belichick. Is it Belichick? Is it Brady? It's both them. It worked however it worked. But I don't think on quarterback. They've lost the talent. They're up against the cap.
Stidham is the
answer. I know he's a magician, but I just don't. Maybe they get to 9 wins and that's enough in a wild card in the AFC. But I don't see that happening next year.
But who's winning that division over New England now?
The Bills.
I've got to assume Buffalo. I mean, don't say they're really the Bills. They've now made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. They have a double digit win. McDermott seems to be a good coach. They have a real general manager. I'm not a Josh Allen guy.
Yeah, I can't see Josh Allen winning a division. I just like It's the same New England defense, pretty much. I don't know. I guess Brady's not coming back, but he wasn't that productive last year. If they can, you know, get something out of Stidham, or if they get bring in Cam.
Now rumors are they're bringing in Andy Dalton.
Andy the Red. Dude, the Ginger Slinger? Bring that guy in there? I don't know.
I don't know the Ginger. The Red Rocket.
Oh, Red Rocket. Red Rocket.
But yeah. No, I think Dalton will end up in Jacksonville with Jay Gruden, his former OC.
Okay, good call. Where do you think Cam ends up?
That's a hell of a question. I don't know, because I don't know who's in the market for him. If he's going to take a 1-year prove it deal to make a big contract next year, or if he's going to want to wait and pull up what he thinks he's going to get paid. I don't have a prediction for Cam.
Okay,
I mean, who needs a quarterback?
As I said, there was rumors at first Redskins with Ron Rivera, but I guess those have kind of washed away now. But any chance talks of that come back up?
I don't think so, because you know if you bring him in, or he's not being a backup. Yeah. So why would Ron bring him in? I mean, if Ron's lying about Haskins, then fine. But if he's sincere that they're going to give Haskins a chance to be the starter for a year or whatever, then you can't bring up Cam. That doesn't work. So New England would make sense for Cam.
Yeah.
Belichick, chip on his shoulder, Cam. I don't know if that's realistic. So I think New England tanks next year, no playoffs. And I think Tampa will make the playoffs but will not win their division.
Okay, that is, we talked about last week, my opinion, toughest division in football next year. You have the Saints taking the South then?
Yes, I have the Saints. I think the Saints will win that division. So they'll finish second and get a wild card or whatever, but they're not. I know their Super Bowl odds are now skyrocketing, but I don't see them still being the best in that division.
See, I don't like a Tampa Super Bowl, but I do like a Tampa playoff bet, even though I am starting to become a Bucs believer, but I do think they'll make the playoffs. There's a lot of talent on that roster now. They got that good lineman from Iowa, too, out of the draft, so got to respect that. But
yeah, their offense is loaded. Arians is a really good coach. I basically, they're all in for like a year or two. I mean, Arians was retired, came out of retirement to coach them. He's 1 year in. They had a good year offensively with Winston. They got Brady for a year or two left. Gronk's on his, you know, basically a 1-year deal. I think you better get this next year or two in Tampa, and then it's a fire sale, then they're out. So they better make it count these next 2 years.
Yeah, they're going L.A. Dodgers all in. This is the year. Classic. Just, like, go for it. But yeah. What's your second bold prediction, hot take here on this coming season?
Well, no, I'm right. It was both. It was the Pats not making the playoffs and Tampa finishing second.
Okay, got you.
I don't know if I have a hot take other than that, except for, as a Redskins fan, I'm borderline hoping the season gets canceled just because my team's going to suck again.
That's a bold strategy, but Cotton. Cancel the season?
Well, you know, I'm thinking if the season gets canceled, do we just get to pick second again next year's draft? The same as it was before. So, okay, that's genius, right?
That is interesting. That's like a really good idea, honestly, for them. You know, hope the season gets canceled and then just pick second again.
Yeah, you know, let's run it back, man.
Gotcha. Yeah. If they pick second again next year, or let's say, like, you know, really, like, fantasy world scenario here is they actually flip all the picks, so Redskins go and pick first next year. Do you want to take Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, fair enough.
Again, I'm not a Haskins guy, and I think next year where they play it, if they determine whenever that Haskins is not their guy, they'll be in the market for a quarterback, unless they think Kyle Allen is one, which I doubt too. But but you know, the problem is I'm guessing they'll be bad, like top 10 bad.
Yeah.
But not like top 3 bet, where to get up to Trevor Lawrence, they have to again sell the farm, which we wouldn't want them to do. So,
yeah, true. They
all have them. Not sure what next year will hold, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping there's a season. I honestly just don't know. I mean, like, talks of like the fall, spring. The problem with like the NFL season being so long is that they could be ready to play, you know, in September. But then, like, depending on like when a vaccine's available, like, you know, I've been talking to Fauci pretty much every day trying to get this, you know, insider knowledge for everybody. But just, like, odds are that, like, they can't get through a whole season without needing to take more breaks for, you know, social distancing and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see what will happen. I mean, I'm hoping there's a season for pure, like, entertainment purposes. But, you know, I'm not 100% sure at all what's going to happen. What are your thoughts, you know, being
an
insider?
Fauci's a big baseball guy. He already talked to Ryan Zimmerman and said he wants the Nats to have a season just so he can go to the game to celebrate. But I don't know if he's as much into football. I have no idea. I mean, you know, we're sitting here and we've been, even on a high school level, doing coaching stuff all off season to prepare for, you know, summer football camps in June, passing camps, which will not happen. And,
so no,
you know,
seven
camp
on seven
in August and practices, which might not happen now. I mean, it's the whole world is literally holding. You've seen leagues all around the world
Yeah.
cancel stuff. I think the NFL will take it to the brink as much as they can to have the season. They're gonna release a schedule next week, and the schedule will have a normal 17-week schedule with, you know, starting September, ending Super Bowl in February. They're not going to change that until there's kind of a gun to their head. So I think the bigger issue will be college, because you have, yeah, and you know this, but on a lower level, you have, you know, are they going to put 110,000 people in the horseshoe for a game in September sitting next to each other? I can't see that happen.
Exactly. Are we going to fit 400 people into Pioneer Stadium, Rosenblum Field, Rosenblum Field for week one against, I can't remember who we play, but big
you don't even know. Yeah, you don't even know it's week one.
Rockford University, big school in Illinois. But
I mean, is Springbrook going to be able to have fit the dozens of people they have in their stands for week one versus Blair? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
hard to say.
It'd suck, I mean, if these things get like, you know, what do you think they would do if let's say they can't do any sports next year? Do like for high school kids, do like the seniors come back and get to play another year, or do you think they just move on? And
no, I mean. I don't know for the fall. I mean, I know the college they're doing extra year of eligibility for you know, winter kids, stuff for spring kids, stuff like that. I mean, high school doesn't make sense. I don't, unless you have kids who like really want to do that. But I don't. Yeah, you can't hold up the whole chain of kids for one more year and make them kind of repeat a grade. So you just have, you know, twice as many seniors. I don't see that happening. Yeah. Making sense, but I'll be interested to see how many college kids apply for that waiver in the spring and want to come back for senior year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm actually curious about that too. Like, especially like, I don't know, did they decide for basketball if they were going to give, you know, like the seniors who didn't get to play March Madness, are they going to get extra eligibility? Or
no? Yeah, they said no. They said no. And in some schools, actually, honestly, some schools individually are allowed to decide. So I know the University of Wisconsin came out, and their former football coach is now AD Barry Alvarez, basically said, "Hey, you know what? Thanks for all you've done, but we're not giving you extra year of eligibility because they can't afford to do it. They literally cannot afford to have scholarships rolled over to add, you know, 30 more scholarships, whatever, the kids who want to come back." You'll see a lot of athletic departments that aren't, you know, Alabama and Texas. You'll see a lot of athletic departments, you know, in the red this year and basically going bankrupt because of this coronavirus, unfortunately, especially if it bleeds over into football.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. But, yeah, I guess with college football, too, I mean, where, you know, just the ticket revenue is, you know, I think some people overestimate the figure, but I think it is actually about 25%. Of the total athletic revenue for these schools for the year, they need like that fans at games in order to, you know, that's how they make like, you know, they only make profit from football, all these schools. So, you know, to keep the entire college sports industry alive, they need eventual college football season with fans. So that's why I think college football will be played in the spring. This is probably the ideal fan, you know, idea, is to still get the NFL in the fall, get D3 in high school and in the fall, so we can all play, watch the NFL. And then have the spring just have college, you know, D1 college football going on, so we can watch football year round.
Yeah,
maybe it's just you wishful thinking.
Next year, you'll have college be the new XFL. Next year, play from like February to April or May or whatever.
That would be awesome. Like, honestly, it would be like pretty cool too to watch. Like,
yeah, I believe Ryan Day suggested that, the Ohio State coach. He said, "Look, let's play from February to May and do the draft and run it back and start normal again in 2021 in August of 2021." So you'd only have that 3 month period off, but you'd have kids play a year and graduate, still get to drafted, and the next year's group come in, because he was saying, look, any football is better than no football. So rather than canceling the season, if you can't do it in September, it's at least a secondary option. I don't know if that's getting any traction, but it's certainly interesting, and people would definitely watch.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. So I guess we just have to wait and see on that. But I guess before we let you go, had you on for probably too long, we don't want Mrs. Cole and Jackie to be upset. All right, thank you so much for coming on, Danny. We hope to have you on as a recurring guest. All right, that was a great set of interviews right there. I hope you guys enjoyed. If you made it this far, as always, we love you. You're more than just listeners to us. You're our brothers, you're our friends, you're our sisters. Thank you so much. As I said earlier, huge week happening next week, and I cannot stress this enough, huge week. Follow us on Twitter for all the updates. We'll let you know what's happening, but huge week coming next week. Spread the word as usual. We love you, Beastie Boys, our listeners out there. Couldn't thank you enough for your support. And, yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you, guys.
Beast, an adjective to describe something that is really sick or otherwise awesome. Examples of beasts in a sentence. Dude, you hear that podcast last night with the Sif Boys? So beast, man. That content was absolutely electric. So beast.